This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
I did summer stock one summer in New Hampshire, and the associate director of the theater, who we're going to call Jack for the purposes of this story, ran an aerobics class every single morning. And every morning I went, because going to the gym has always, from a very early age, been therapy for me. So near the end of that summer of me going every single morning religiously, Jack mentions at a company meeting that I am the only company member who attended every class all summer long. And he's saying things like, "What dedication, what commitment to the team. She is all for one and one for all, and let's be more like Carrie." And my close friend who was sitting next to me at this one particular company meeting, Fred, turns to me and very under his breath says, "Well, that's total BS because I know that you're vain." So he's not wrong. But he was only part right, really, is because truly I go to the gym, yes, for vanity, but also for sanity. And this is very much my mantra: vanity, sanity, gym every day, or at least some sort of exercise. So I was so pleased when I got to meet another gym enthusiast.
Yes.
Who also lives and loves for events, lives and loves events, right?
Mm-hmm. And yes. Appreciates your vanity and sanity motto.
Thank you. You may use it. It's not
I will absolutely steal it, because I say, okay, I go to the gym for sanity, but come on.
Come on. Let's, yes. If we're being true to ourselves, it's vanity and sanity. I'm proud to say it, vanity and sanity.
I like for my clothes to fit, and I like not have to go up a size.
Yes. I feel seen. Thank you. Thank you. And for those who don't know who's speaking on today's episode of Speaking of Events, I am so excited to welcome the lovely, lively, very fit guest.
Fit-ish.
Fit. Okay.
Fit-ish.
I think I referred to myself the other day in a conversation as a reasonably fit adult.
Reasonably fit adult. Sane-ish, fit-ish.
Kind of great. Yes. And if you haven't gathered who my guest is yet, it is Lisa Lundeen. She is the Senior Vice President, Account Direction at Freeman Company.
Freeman. Dun, dun, dun. I like your big, I know that people listening can't see your arm movements, but you really made like a big arm movement.
Yes. I'm a grand gesticulator. So if you ever want to see it, what grand gestures go along with this annoying, very masky front nasally voice, check out, we're available on YouTube as well. You can also see what fabulous colors we have on today.
Yes. Our jewel Lisa, tones.
Yes. Yes. We are both in fabulous jewel tones. You know the rules. Thank you for being here
for a little while.
Just a couple times. It's not your first rodeo.
Not
at all. So to my fabulous gym enthusiast new friend, Lisa, are you ready for your first question on Speaking of Events?
I am, and I'm ready for my first podcast.
This is your first podcast?
This is my first ever podcast. I am an avid podcast consumer. I have never done one before.
Oh. Can you share what your favorite podcast is? We did not prepare for this question.
Oh yeah. Hands down, Crime Junkie.
Yes.
Hands down.
Okay. I like crime stuff. I like culty stuff. So a little bit culty. I don't know if you've checked out Twin Flames. It's a short story.
I listened to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I am a Patreon and subscriber to a lot of podcast platforms. So I am a Wondery subscriber.
Oh, yes.
Flames,
yes.
Was on Wondery. Yep. Yes. I listen to all their stuff because, ad free.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. Wow, we have a lot to talk about, but maybe we should talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about the actual topic of the podcast instead of podcasts.
It would be a podcast about podcasts.
It would be great.
It would be kind of like meta anyway. All right. So, well, my first question was going to be, did you work out yet today? That was actually
I have not. I usually try to do my day, go at lunch, breaks up my day. It resets my brain. And then I finish my day.
That is wonderful. I admire the lunch crowd. I do. I get it out of the way. We talked about this in the more first thing, because then there's no excuse, right? It's done. And that's it. So, okay, great. You have not yet, but lunch, and maybe you'll listen to a podcast.
I usually do.
While you do it.
I usually do.
But speaking of events, Lisa, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
Oh, I'm going to do two things I wish more people knew about events.
Okay. Okay.
See, I'm already challenging your rules. Sorry. I'm a rule breaker. It is very interesting how much of the global economy events drive. So how much business actually gets done at events. And I've been in this industry for almost 20 years. And when I tell people I do events, they think parties. Oh, you plan parties. And they really don't understand that these events, true business is getting done, that pipelines are moving forward, deals are getting closed, companies are doing real business that has an impact on the global economy. So that's one. We're not throwing parties. We are doing real business. And two, the amount of work that goes into an event. And I was guilty of this. I was in marketing and had been to many trade shows and conferences and events. And before I got into this industry, I had no clue the amount of time and effort, strategy, creative minds, planning, all of that that went into making events happen. And literally the first time I walked into a exhibit hall with Freeman on my, second day, and I was in training, there was no carpet and there was nothing in the exhibit hall. And I was like, where's all the stuff that's usually here? I thought that they were carpeted.
Why wouldn't the lighting be there?
So the amount of work and then just the impact that it has on business and our economy is crazy. Yes. And I think most people don't know that.
Yes, I agree. And serious business happens. You're right. Okay. And also on a tiny scale. So, that Ovation does speaker coaching. So sometimes on more of like actually the tech events, they'll ask me if we've done speaker training, they'll also ask me to be a speaker so that the very technical people also get some soft skills happening within this event. And I'll speak, and typically even that little, like me standing on a stage for 20, 45 minutes, whatever it is, Ovation gets more business. People say, oh, I saw you speak at the XYZ conference. Can your organization come and support us? The answer is always yes.
Of course.
And I just think that's having experienced that little piece and knowing the magnitude scale of stuff that happens at events is amazing. I also know, and not from firsthand experience, but seeing it and knowing so many event professionals, that the amount of work is crazy.
Crazy.
So you're supporting a lot of the corporate, right? The big enterprise events with Freeman. And so how long is a typical, and maybe there's not a typical, but if I'm giant company, ABC, and I come to you and I'm like, Lisa, support our big event, from the time we engage till the actual event and the carpet is down and the lights are up, how long could that be?
A year.
Wow.
A year. I mean, it's not uncommon, especially pre-pandemic. Our cycles are planning cycles are a little bit shorter with some of the uncertainty now. But a year, we would finish an event and we would go straight to, let's debrief what happened and what was successful, what didn't work, what needs improvement. And after that debrief, we go straight to let's develop our strategy and our plan for the approach next year and move into planning. Oh, some of the big logistics stuff doesn't happen until further down the road, but it's year planning cycles for these large events. So it's a year of a big team's time that goes into making these things happen.
And talking about some of those uncertainties, because we've certainly experienced a lot of them in the past couple of years, where's your confidence level or ability to navigate through some of those now? Do you feel it's in a better place? Where is that for you right now?
Yeah, I think our industry has changed a lot, and it's good. It's all for the best. And you're probably seeing that a little bit in the speaker world, because there was always we did this last year, so there's an expectation that we do it, but we do it a little bit better this year. And the pandemic just gave us a full stop. We have to reevaluate how we do what we do, why we do what we do, and really be more thoughtful and strategic about how we engage with audiences. And now that things are coming back to a place where we can do in person, there are fewer health and safety concerns. We're learning to live with this virus that sort of upset all of our craziness. We are more mindful about engagement, but that's a great thing. And I think it's a thing that will drive us forward and really innovate and change the industry. So I'm feeling great. I think things will look different, but I don't think that is necessarily a bad thing.
Agreed. So it sort of parlays nicely into my next question, which is what are some of the good things that came out of the past 2 years? I know it was stressful. I know you're in an industry with like the, you know, top 3 rated stressful jobs in the planet or something like that. Mm-hmm. But there were good things. So what good came out of the past couple of years?
Absolutely good things. I think our job is as stressful as pilots and firefighters.
Yeah.
and like emergency room doctors and then event professionals, which is hilarious because every other stressful job has people's lives in your hands.
Life-saving, right.
We, I guess, technically have people's lives in our hands at events, but not really. it is quite stressful. Really great things. I mean, I mentioned there's a renewed focus on how we engage and content, which I think was critical for brands. We really had the opportunity to stop and think about our industry and how we engage with attendees and how we tell brand stories and deliver content, all of those things, which I do think was much needed. Nothing changes really unless you get completely disrupted. And although there's like little innovations and little changes that happen every year, like I said, in that planning process, we always say what worked, what didn't work, let's try something different, something new. There was never this whole, let's stop everything that we've been doing for the last 90 years and completely reload it. So that gave us an amazing opportunity to innovate in a way that hasn't happened. Super hard because you had to innovate real fast. But awesome for our industry personally, gave me the same opportunity, I think, personally, to just reevaluate and reset and think about how do I want to treat myself, my body, my health, my family, all of those things that sometimes when you're really busy in that year-long planning cycle, you stop focusing on. So there were really great things that came out of a really awful, awful situation.
Yes.
And I don't want to make light of that because, I mean, it was bad. A lot of people lost their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I liked how you framed it as a forced disruption. And I hadn't really thought about that before. And you're right, that innovation happens when there's this big disruption, and this horrible thing forced everybody to be disrupted in some way. It pretty much decimated, I feel, the events space for a while, and required everybody involved in all facets to dig deep and get creative.
Very
and true. And also on the work side, also personally as well, I completely understand that. Yeah, too,
for sure. Yeah. And learned so many new things. I mean,
right,
learned so many new things via
what'd you learn
as well.
Right.
Well, right. I mean, I did learn that if there's no body, there's no crime. So
true. That's the really important things. And just, you know, tuck that one in your back pocket. Things. Right.
But it took totally different. It takes very different muscle to plan a virtual or a digital engagement than it does an in-person engagement. And, you know, we were learning, while there's always been elements of streaming and different kinds of content curation at events, taking all of that online was just, it was new muscle. We had to learn platforms and how do we facilitate some of, not replicate what happens right at an in-person event, but facilitate some of the same connections, networking and things like that, that happen at an in-person event. How do you do that online? So all of that were just things that we had to go learn.
Yeah.
And create. Yes. in a lot of places, we just had to literally invent it.
Yeah. Which I think is great. Right. Everybody kind of emerged with these cool, like, oh, that's a great idea. That is great. And, mm-hmm. and content is more accessible now. And the events in some ways are even more well attended if, mm-hmm. if there's able to have, and especially now with in-person and then a virtual experience. Mm-hmm. And some people are calling that hybrid. Mm-hmm. So, but what is, but what does hybrid mean to you?
Our new favorite industry word.
Yes.
Hybrid exists because we gave what was happening a name. And I mean, great. We all need common vernacular to move the industry forward. So from that standpoint, I think hybrid is an important word. I would argue that hybrid's not really a thing. I see it as flexible engagement options. So you have the ability to engage your audience in multiple ways, whether that be because of health and safety concerns, where your audience is in their buying cycle, or even where they are in around the world, on the globe. People need a flexible way to engage with your brand and your content and your event. And so we're calling that hybrid, but really it just says, okay, there are some people who are going to really be comfortable with attending a virtual event, keeping that online because of any one of those number of reasons I mentioned, or there are people who are going to be at a point where they need to have an in-person engagement, potentially want more information, or they want that, they just need that networking and interaction. And hybrid, what we're calling it, gives them that solution.
We're doing big air quotes, big, by air the way. Quotes,
hybrid air quotes.
Yes.
This approach to hybrid. I think when I hear people talk about hybrid and that it's going to connect a virtual audience and an in-person audience, I kind of scoff at that. I don't think that those two audiences really want to be connected. For me, it's about your whole audience and giving them multiple ways to engage with your event, your content, and your brand. That's what hybrid is to me.
Mm, well said. Think about a hybrid car is electric and gas. Mm. This is a very not technical explanation of this. but they never run at the same time. You're either running on gas or you're running on electric or battery, right? And so that's, it's very hard to achieve running two of the same things exactly at the same time. And I believe in what I've seen so successful in so many events in at least the last couple months is that they're embracing the multifaceted delivery versus we're gonna do the same thing for all audiences. And the thing is somebody just misses out, and whether that's like a crappy camera angle in the back for the digital audience, or you have a speaker that can't move and can't express because they have to stand in front of a camera.
I agree.
And I'm excited to see where that part of it goes, that how can we continue to reach to have massively successful in-person experiences, as well as globally accessible content out there.
That's my wish
for the world.
I agree. And we, I mean, to a certain degree, there that has been happening for a long time, depending on the brand, the customer, and, you know, how much of their event they wanted to live stream or have live out there after the event. There has always been an element of being able to engage those, the audience members in different ways. But I think we are more mindful of that now. Like it's in the past been an afterthought or a, okay, we'll live stream the keynote so people who aren't here can see the keynote. But we're not live streaming all of the content, and we're not leaving it in a library where it's curated and people can consume it later. So I think this hybrid word, or my air quotes, hybrid, gives us, it makes us more mindful about how, what do we do with all of the content that we build at an event so that it can be consumed and engaged with in multiple different ways. And so I think that will continue, to your point, we'll continue to innovate around that, and it will continue to shift and move. And that is a very exciting thing about our industry right now, because it was forcibly disrupted and we had to innovate for the last 2 years. And now as in-person is coming back and we can be together again, we will again innovate around what does being together look like and what does being virtual look like.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really, I mean, it's happening in every industry. I think our industry, it's just, it's, there's a bigger spotlight on it because we came to a full stop. Everything went online, and then we're slowly kind of trickling back to in-person. But every industry has had that same thing. I love Lululemon, obviously, because I work out. And I was looking at their annual report yesterday, just out of curiosity. Their digital sales are up 50%.
Wow.
And their in-store sales are just in the last quarter up 3% from their lows. So I was kind of laughing. I'm like, oh, they've gone through the same. They maybe were more prepared for it than the events industry was, just because we organize around in-person experiences. Right. but they've gone through the same kind of transformation and disruption that we all have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They make great clothes. So the, that, and something that people have been struggling with, Lululemon, most organizations, Freeman, as you had shared with me, is this struggle of hiring and talent because of the great resignation. Yes. I just made that tune up. That was just and
need to make that a sound on TikTok.
Yes. The great resignation. Talk to me about that. I know that that's real. And as we upscale back into these full-blown events that ideally are going to be bigger and better than ever, what's going on with that? How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, we're really lucky as an organization. I mean, we're a family-owned company, and I think that our culture is amazing. And while we have seen people resigning and leaving because we are in the great resignation, I didn't do it right, but I tried.
Oh, it was fabulous.
Our turnover has actually been relatively low. I mean, it's a small percentage. So our bigger struggle is that we are a very large company who was disrupted and went to a very, very small-ish company. I mean, we had people furloughed and we still had a lot of employees, but there was just a smaller need without having in-person experiences, obviously. And then there's a different type of talent need. And then we go back to being a large company again, once the world opens up and in-person events start happening, so that being a size, contracting down to respond to what was happening in the world, and then going back to being, you know, a large company with thousands of in-person events requires a huge ramp and a lot of hiring. And that's what we're going through right now. And then you couple that with what's happened with the great resignation and people finding and changing careers, and the need for new talent, new types of talent, because we are thinking about events in a different way, just creates this, oh my God, we have hundreds of open positions that we need to hire for. And it's been interesting for sure. And if you think about in our world, in our industry, we were at a full stop on in-person for almost 2 years. And that meant that there were different skill sets needed and potentially fewer employees needed during that time that we were at a full stop. And a lot of those people went and found other jobs. You can't sit around waiting for your job to come back for 2 years. So some people have found that they enjoyed a different challenge and just don't want to come back to our crazy top five most stressful job industry.
Right. Maybe they went to work in the ER. I mean, just right. To take like a breather.
Or they like learned how to pilot an airplane.
That's easy. Sure.
I mean, event people are built for that kind of stress.
Right. Exactly. Agreed. Right. Next time there's an emergency on an airplane, instead of calling for a doctor, I'm going to call for an event.
For an event person.
I am.
You're an event professional.
I think they're going to be able to handle it better.
I mean, most of us have to be certified in a little bit of life-saving measures.
Right.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Right. You never know. Absolutely.
Back in the day, you could have 30,000 people in a venue. Anything could happen.
Yeah. When are we going to get back to that? What's your prediction? When do you think we're going to get back to 30,000 people in a venue?
I mean, there already have been. CES had, I think, double that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think we're already getting there. Corporates are, I think, moving a little more cautiously, because it is to plan an event and then have to move it virtual or cancel it is very difficult. So then I think there also used to be a focus on quantity. Just, we want 30,000 people at an event, and there's a renewed focus on quality of attendees, potentially over quantity of attendees. So I don't know when we'll get back to, I feel like we are very back to in-person engagements. I don't know when or if we'll get back to the point where we have 30,000 people attending a brand's event again.
Great. Well, we shall see.
Maybe everything goes in cycles, you know, maybe 5 years. Maybe in 5 years, three to 5 years, we'll revise our approach again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt. Well, I have to ask you, because you know I'm obsessed with speakers, because that's my gig. And I want to know what your perspective, what is the number one thing you wish speakers did?
Get training. Get training.
With ovation.
Get training with ovation. it's so important. The best thing that anyone ever did for me early in my career was force me to join Toastmasters. I was forced into it. It was part of my, it was one of my bosses at Freeman who said, this will be the best thing you, it's hard. It'll be the best thing you ever do for your career. It was in my goals and I was measured against achieving that goal. Training is critical. And then just in that, also understanding, like, what do I need to wear on camera? Tool tones.
We knew it. We already knew that.
What should I do with my body? Right. You said you use your arms a lot. I talk with my hands a lot. How do you do that in a way that when you're speaking, you are authentic, but then you're also not distracting or doing weird, odd things with your body? So just think training. That's what trainers teach you to do. What to wear, how to look good on camera, how to make sure your body doesn't do crazy things.
Yes.
I
really could not.
100 times. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like that Toastmasters buzzer when you say and they hit the buzzer.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I literally could not agree with you more. I have not dedicated my past 10 years of my life to build this company to agree with you more. Right. It is
it's what you do for a living.
Yes. I am with you 100%. And to share a quick self-serving promo that over what I did over the pandemic, after I cried in the corner for like maybe just 20 minutes, it was a 20 minute pity party.
It might have been 20 days for me, but whatever.
And then I was like, okay, all right, what do I have to do? And I built a virtual version of Toastmasters, actually. And that's it's not quite the global scale, although accessible by everybody. It's called Studio G. So any of those Freeman execs, tell them, yes, you can send them to Toastmasters, but come on over to Studio G.
I'm going to actually check that out.
GetStudioG.com. Okay, moving on. Not about me. This is about you, Lisa Lundeen.
It can be about both of us.
Oh, I like that.
About both of us.
It could be about both. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the stage with me today. No, thank you.
It is
thank
your you. Podcast. I am a guest.
It is a podcast for all event lovers, professionals, enthusiasts. And I'm thrilled that you're here, but it's not over yet.
Okay.
Are you ready for our lightning express round?
Yes, I think. I mean, I hope. I don't know. I'm scared.
Good. That's how I want everybody on this podcast to feel.
Slightly, there's some nervous energy happening.
That way, if this is a disaster, then think about how your second podcast is going to go. Right? If you're like, the first one was awful.
There may never be another one.
That's right. All right. 45 seconds on the clock. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you seven questions.
Okay.
What is your favorite moment in the event process?
Oh, when the show opens and the audience pours into the space and there is just this energy. I can feel it in my body right now when I talk about it.
Awesome. If you didn't do what you do, what would you do?
Oh, Lordy. Something in the health and fitness industry.
Nice. Who do you consider your mentor?
I've had a lot of them. But one of my former bosses who's since retired.
Fabulous. Quickly, please name all four of your dogs.
Oh, Kelsey, Lucy, Bart, and Frankie. Thank you.
Sorry. Stuck on Bart. You totally got stuck on Bart and like searched for his name in the clouds. Bart,
what's his name? The reason I did that is because my parents are staying with us right now. I'm totally going over 45 seconds.
It's okay. And there's not really a clock. Don't worry about it.
Their dog is here also. And he was in my head. His name is Doug.
Oh,
so I almost said Doug.
There's five dogs in your house right now.
Yes.
It is silent, and that is super impressive. By the way,
I threatened everyone in my household within an inch of their life. They're all gone. Like, if you come to the door before 9:30 in the morning, I'll kill you.
Right, you're dead.
And I know how to get rid of your body.
Right, and we know that if there is no body, there's no crime. So exactly. We know now. All right, that's just a bonus tip for our listeners. Yes. Okay. What I think I know the answer to this, but what do you do every single day to stay healthy and sane, or as I like to call it, vanity insanity?
Yes, go to the gym.
Woo! But
also drink coffee.
Yes. What is your gym? I don't think I asked you that. What's your?
I go to a small training gym.
Oh, right. Right. The one-on-one fitness type.
Yes. Place. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Or like one on a small group. Like, they never have more than 5 people in space at one time. So
nice. Exclusivity. Okay.
And they write your workouts for you. I have to have an appointment. I have to be accountable to someone to show up. And because as much as vanity and sanity, it also is hard to get yourself there.
Yes.
So they write your workouts for you. I need that. And they schedule an appointment. I need that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right. This is a long 45 seconds, but we're still in it. Are you ready? If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I'd be on a conference call probably, or checking my email.
Or yelling at your parents.
Working.
Right. Last and final question. You shared with me last week on our prep call, you have a curse word mug collection.
I sure do.
Which is your favorite?
I mean,
we can bleep it out. Like, it's fine.
Okay. I have I have a mug that is pink, and it has the cutest little kitten on it with like a bow in its hair. And underneath it, it says, "Eat a dick."
Well, that brings us to the end of our lightning round.
You should not put that on the podcast. But you can.
But I want to put it on a t-shirt.
I know.
Because that is amazing. Okay.
This one is very timely, the one that I'm using today.
Yes, let me see what it's like.
What doesn't kill you mutates and tries again. It's not a curse word, but it is funny.
It is very funny. It is very funny. But I seriously like one of those posters, like the 1970 and the cats hanging and the, okay, great.
Yeah. Seriously, like the cutest little, sweetest little kitten. And then underneath. Yeah.
Love it. Lisa Lundin, thank you so much for being a guest Speaking of Events. This was amazing. How was your first podcast? How did it go?
It was so fun.
What's my grade as...
You're totally an A+. You did a great job asking me questions and facilitating the conversation.
Oh, thank you. Oh gosh, it's a feel good event for me.
I will highly recommend you for speaker training to any of my clients.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here from a Freeman professional. Thank you. That is amazing. Where can people find you if they would like to connect with you?
LinkedIn.
I love the LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Lisa Lundin on the LinkedIn. Yes. Thank you. You too get an A+ for your first podcast.
Thank you.
Amazing.
I mean, it was great. Toastmasters. I tried not to say too much.
That's right. You didn't. It was fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me time this morning. Thank you for keeping all 5 dogs quiet. I mean, that's amazing in itself. Thank you to our listeners for getting this far. I think you've learned a lot about events, about, committing a crime. I mean, we've covered a lot in these 40 minutes.
Covered a lot of topics.
Yes. So if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast. And as always, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Thank you.
Thank you.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.